Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt bringing you the President's Perspective, a conversation between current and future leaders of NAHU.
So, Dane, I mean, we're now at the beginning of December. You know, like a lot of things that happen this time of year, we're starting to look back and look forward. And I hope maybe this episode we would talk about some of the things you've experienced in the first 5 months, some of the things you think we're doing a good job with, and then kind of what people can expect in the first part of next year in terms of what NAHU is going to do and everything else. What do you think is one of the top accomplishments of the last 6 months for you?
Without a doubt, I would say it's the new Special Committee of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. We definitely got out hot as a leadership team from the moment that we were sworn in with the appointment of the task force for DEI and the work that they did, which was really a testament to the people on that committee, less so than anything on the presidential administration side, so to speak. But Wayne and his team were incredible, thoughtful, deliberate, and action-oriented. And we now have a new special committee in the form of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. And we've now wrapped some professional development around it for training for agencies. It was really a powerful, important work that we've done. And it's a new filter through which we can hold ourselves accountable for being better than we were before.
I have to say from my end, I think having taken that training, how much you don't realize little things in terms of how there's words that you use or even kind of inferences that you make, that I just appreciated the perspective that is often hard to get. And I think that's been a great gift from a professional perspective, making sure that we're open to all people, but also not saying things, not doing things that can be misperceived. You might not have bad intent, but you will occasionally use words that certainly can be heard differently than they were said. So I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah, I agree. We've had an ongoing quest for improvement on the B2B platform. It's been met along the way with many bumps in the road. It's going to end up being, although it frustrated a number of our avid and loyal B2B users in particular. I know a lot of our Medicare-focused members use it regularly and see it almost as one of the top, if not the best, value in their membership. We've been able to go back to the provider of the platform and actually expand the technology. So not only are we going to have a B2B that does a lot of work in just that area, but we're going to be expanding the whole concept of it into different focus groups, so to speak. So people that might be self-funded or large group or long-term care, you know, whatever it might be inside of the NAHU umbrella, there will be a forum for them to set up something. I look at the B2B technology, as I understand it, not dissimilar from, say, Salesforce that a lot of us use. And Salesforce at agency A can be look completely different than it is at B. It's architecture that you use to make it unique to what you want it to be. And we know that our B2B Medicare users want it to work and function a certain way. And this being the week of November 30th that we're recording this now on December 1st, we're expecting that this will launch by the end of this week for those B2B users, in particular on the Medicare side. So while that isn't something that I'm running around holding up a flag saying, hey, we did amazing work, it is one of those things that, you know, we're along the way, when you do stumble, you have the opportunity to see things differently and actually, hopefully, we'll end up better than where we started. And we thank those that are the loyal B2B users for their patience as we continue to expand this and make it better.
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting things, I'm like a lot of us also a member like of SHRM. SHRM does a really good kind of B2B platform as well. And it is amazing. It's actually the same company that does their platform as who does ours now, and how that platform is really going to allow us, I think, to give people the opportunity to get information, to answer questions, and to have discussion I mean, we're always sensitive to things like discussing commissions just because of antitrust rules. But I think for us, I think we really do now view it as a great opportunity to get feedback about what we can be doing and how we should be doing it. It's hard sometimes, as you said, to go around and be too loud about things that should never have been broken to begin with. But I know most members are very much appreciative of the fact that attention's being paid, stuff's getting done, and that's a great reflection on the board and the leadership. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And then I guess in keeping in the lines of just, you know, looking back at where we've been, right up your alley, we're continuing to work our way through the restructuring of the membership dues platform and making it more inclusive for agencies that are a little bit bigger than small, and certainly not the national ones that we all know about, but that sort of mid-market agency that might have anywhere between 3 and 100 employees kind of thing. You know, in a lot of those agencies, you have a few of the people that are out front in account management or sales that are active in NAHU, but the others that are supporting and also active in that agency are not as active in NAHU. And they're people that really are opportunities for us to get involved in membership. And in doing so, they become potential contributors to HUPAC and probably most importantly, future leaders of the organization. But all the things that fit into what we do, they become potential participants in it. And I think that that's important because while we can probably increase dues revenue, it could allow us to even double the active bodies inside of NHU. And I think that's equally as important as the revenue side of it.
So I totally agree with what you just said. To me, one of the things I guess I've felt some responsibility for is really moving what we do away from kind of a per person dues model to more of an investment model where we can be better prepared to deliver all that we need to for our members. And I think so true that we have a lot of people working, a lot of agencies that aren't able to get some of the advantages of membership, which isn't different cost on professional development classes or, you know, the ability to go to an event at a different price. But really, ultimately, the thing we all learn, which is to be better leaders of people and to understand that this is about being aware and invested in our profession. And I really think this, the ideas that we're moving forward on that front will move us much closer to, you know, where agencies and individual business units are so important to what we do, but not worry about, well, we got these three people who are members, but not these seven. Now we can accomplish the same thing, but really get people invested in it differently. So to me, that's personally one of the two or three things that I know I kind of started the year with a big goal of, and I'm appreciative of the fact that we're making good progress on that. In that same vein, I think we're understanding that right now is requiring a transformation, looking at how we see local chapters. And I think a lot of states, a lot of locals are having these conversations, and you'll hear us talk about virtual chapters a lot, but virtual chapters really means not only the ability to deliver chapter content virtually, but also the fact that you may not have ever for some chapters, physical meetings, live meetings. And so some chapters are going to want to set up that way. And I think the more we can encourage that, and I think the great thing is the board and the staff are all really committed to the idea that we've got to continually look for improvement on that front. It's not done, but I feel like we've got people's attention on it. And that really makes me feel positive about where we're going. And then I think the last thing I was going to talk to you about, one of the things you and I talked about years ago, was that the association ultimately has a responsibility to its members. And you know, one of the primary things is to help our members either get a client or keep a client. And so much of what we do now from a compliance perspective, even though we don't make it that explicit, we're ultimately empowering you or me that has a client come up with a question like today with ICRA, with an individual coverage HRA, and be able to answer that question and give them some tools and explain it to them, because we didn't go out and have to read 18 articles. We had some stuff ready made from NHU. And know with the change in the White House, and I know we've talked about that on a couple of podcasts, but I do think it's really another point to highlight about how much we're going to deliver to our members for what I expect to be increased compliance attention in the coming year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Georgia clearly is untold. That story will be written in January. But if there is some sort of division of government in the form of, with the Senate being held by the Republicans and the House staying Democratic and the White House expecting in mid-December to end up where the Electoral College votes seem to be, with Biden sliding into the White House, as again, everybody seems to expect, that there will be the possibility for executive orders on the White House side that could happen quickly. And I think that that's really important that, you know, our lobbyists and our government affairs team are active, because I think right out of the gate, a lot could happen. I anticipate a lot would happen, especially with any new administration, but between now and say April, a lot could just happen on the executive order side.
I do think the next couple of months are going to be crazy on that front. Like, I've already seen a handful of things come out, and you wonder how many of those things will change. I think it's a great part of the Happy Hour podcast. By the way, people need to subscribe to ours as much as they subscribe to Happy Hour.
Yeah, for real, guys. Come on. Subscribe to us, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes. None of this internet web-based stuff. We're going to sick Dan on you. He's going to come after you and get you, because, you know, he's compensated on the number of subscriptions that we get. It might be whether or not he gets to eat at all.
Sorry to break that news to you, Dan, now.
Please, I'm hungry. Please subscribe.
Thank you. And I guess looking back, one of the things that we tripped into that has been nice is just having a different format in which we can connect with the members. And it doesn't mean that we don't have stuff in America's Benefit Specialist, or you can't read the daily things that come out, or so on and so forth, in the ways that we connect with you or on social media. But just having another way through which we can talk about timely issues. We're open to topics. We've had a number of guests as members on this. I told you, David, what I'd like to continue to do as we continue to work on this podcast is to do it more regularly. And starting in January, I think we're going to start to do it weekly. And these are my words, no one else's, but to try to get some of the content to be both secular and non-secular, so that we have an interest level that is inside of NAHU and outside. Because I do think that if we can somehow get people to listen to this that are not currently engaged with NAHU, it could lead to membership. But as importantly, there's no secret. I think that this could be a nice little opportunity to engage sponsors to be involved with participating and allowing us to drive revenue into the association. So I think there's all kinds of ways that this podcast could be of use. And I do look forward to eventually we'll bring Eugene along in these conversations as we get closer to next summer. And this has been fun. I've enjoyed this a lot.
I agree. I'm looking forward to having some of these conversations, because I think there's cool things on the horizon. And I think the more we can get people on to talk about it, again, it goes back to your point about some things you can read. And I think if people had 10 or 15 minutes to listen to an idea that we can help describe, it'll get people interested. And I think that's really a good idea. One of my friends who does listen, who's told me repeatedly, not more than 10 or 15 minutes, is right. But I think we can take an idea like what Teladoc is doing with some of their pieces. I mean, things I want to understand better. But also, I think the more we understand it, the more we're fluent with it in the business, the better off we are. Because when you said secular versus non-secular, what you're really meaning about NAHU or things that are relevant to the rest of our business that maybe isn't specifically NAHU related, right?
Completely. And the way I listen to my podcasts, it's interesting. I find the only advertising I really seem to pay attention to these days are the niche advertisers that tend to do stuff on podcasts. When I'm listening to another podcast, that I'll write down the sponsor and go back and check it out. And frequently a customer of that advertiser. And there are, to your point about on the vendor side, there are a lot of cool companies doing things And I could tell you about a number that my agency works with that are really neat that you've never heard of. And I'm sure vice versa. And so to the extent that we can engage those folks and get them involved as well, I think we can also bring some new level of enlightenment and education to the members.
Ultimately, I mean, we're all here because we want to be better at our jobs. We want to make sure that we aren't surprised by something a competitor walks in and says to our clients, but also that we can take care of them because, you know, clients are the lifeblood of what we do. And I think our association has done a great job in making sure that stays relevant. With that, thanks for this time. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Looking forward to the holidays.
If you are feeling the interest or desire to communicate with me directly, please do so at any time through the form of some sort of text or message to me or a phone call. I can be reached at 410-746-5281. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.